Well, as we all know, the heart of Baha'u'llah's message is unity. The concept that, as he, in his words, speaking to mankind, ye are all the leaves of one tree, the fruit of one branch. And to some extent, during the course of his own ministry, he developed or applied this principle in a number of fields, like the relations between men and women or races and so on. But principally, he left that task to Abdu'l-Bahá, to the center of the covenant. This is a role that Abdu'l-Bahá played that I think still we are only beginning to understand the importance of. For example, if you consider past history, the story of human beings in the past could hardly be termed the story of humankind. These were the stories of different races, different tribes, different nations, different religions, different cultures, and so on. But you could not truthfully say that there was, throughout those 6,000 years or so, there was something you could have called humanity, nor indeed were people, many of these people, prepared to see themselves that way. Even physically, as we all know, races regarded other races as inferior, or perhaps not even as complete, or subhuman. But particularly was this true of the actual world in which the human soul lives, the rational soul of man. The rational soul of man lives, as we know, not just in the physical world that his body occupies, but he lives in a world of intellect, he lives in a world of emotion, of aesthetics, of morality, spirituality, and so on. That's where, that's the real culture, the real where humanity finds its real identity. And therefore, there were many, many identities. Because the cultures of mankind throughout what we today call mankind so easily were, as the Revelation of St. John suggests, they were isolated continents. People were separated from one another, and they were separated by choice. They felt quite happy to be separated from one another. This was the conditions of mankind when Baha'u'llah appeared. And it's the recognition of this historical reality that we have to appreciate as the background for our attempt to understand the mission of Abdu'l-Bahá. Baha'u'llah, in making his covenant, essentially made the covenant with Abdu'l-Bahá because there was no one else on earth. There was no other fully human being with whom he could have made that covenant. And Abdu'l-Bahá's commitment under the covenant was to bring into being that humankind, to bring into being, in his words, a new race of man. And he would do this by unfolding and applying the teachings of the manifestations of God for the manifestation of God for this age. And this is what he succeeded in doing. He created, for those who wanted to embrace it, he created a universal identity. And we Baha'is are struggling to fully internalize this, of course, today. Now, the enemies of the faith said, no, he hasn't done this at all. What he's done is to create a wholly new religion. They sought to picture him as someone who had been dazzled by the West and therefore used his father's revelation as a sort of a foundation, I guess you could call, for the creation of a sort of a socio-political religion of his own devising. Well, E.G. Brown, Professor E.G. Brown, pretty well kills this argument when he points out, in response to some of these charges, no, he says these fundamental teachings, and he gives examples, are already in the revelation of Baha'u'llah. It's that Abdu'l-Bahá took them, developed them fully, and applied them. But the fact that the enemies of the faith chose this particular charge to make is very revealing about them. Or perhaps it's better to say it's very revealing about humankind. And what it reveals is our ignorance still of the nature and importance and power of unity. The Guardian emphasizes this when he's addressing the attempt of modern civilization to deal with all kinds of problems, problems of racial conflict, problems of the misuse of the material resources of the planet, the suppression of women, and all of these other issues that we're struggling with today. The point that he was making is that these problems are the symptoms, the fundamental disease. The disease that needs to be addressed directly is disunity. Because once unity is created, then the other problems become solvable. Without the establishment of the unity of humankind, these problems are not going to be solved, because all of the problems that we're facing today in our world are global. You know, we went through periods of history where we were concerned about principally our national problems or our national identity or whatever the case might be. But today we're living in a world where economic difficulties suddenly sweep across the whole planet. Same thing with the consequences of environmental difficulties, or the breakdown of moral principles, whole populations, refugee populations, sweeping back and forth across the planet, creating problems that you cannot isolate in any one particular country or one particular society. Now, we Baha'is, we've learned to love Abdu'l-Bahá, to appreciate Abdu'l-Bahá in terms of the example he provides, in terms of the love and encouragement that he provided to the followers of Baha'u'llah. We've done the same thing with respect to the institutions that are whose nature is spelled out and authority is assigned quite clearly in Abdu'l-Bahá's will and testament. But we have to increasingly learn to appreciate equally deeply the particular evolutionary role that Abdu'l-Bahá's mission played in the history of the Baha'i faith. When I say played, I mean it set it in motion, and the basis upon which it was set in motion, the writings of Abdu'l-Bahá, the will and testament principally, indicate, of course, that that influence will continue on throughout the Baha'i dispensation. Abdu'l-Bahá, you could say, almost introduces us to the whole concept of the evolutionary principle as it applies to the spiritual life of mankind and to the development of civilization. Why is that so important? Well, we now recognize that we have reached a point in the history of the planet where we are seeing the disintegration, the breakdown of civilization itself, principally Western civilization, but since it is one world now, is one planet now, the breakdown of those other cultures that have been profoundly influenced by Western civilization and have tried to adapt themselves to it. And the challenge to us as Baha'is is that we are going to need a far deeper understanding, a far deeper capacity to internalize the teachings of Baha'u'llah if we're going to be of any earthly use to the rest of humankind, which is, after all, the mission that Baha'u'llah has given us. And this understanding will come only through, obviously, first of all, the guidance of the leadership that the Master established for us. The guardianship, which defines for us the nature of reality in the Guardian's interpretation of Baha'u'llah's purpose and Abdu'l-Bahá's writings, and today the Universal House of Justice, the protection of whom from error applies to the decision making that's necessary for the global functioning of the Baha'i community now and throughout the centuries or millennia perhaps that are yet to come. And that in turn means a process of learning, a process of learning that is going to be the very essence of the development of the Baha'i community, a process of through learning, a process of developing capacities. Capacities that are latent in us, but that must be brought to the surface fully. These are moral capacities, intellectual, organizational, capacities of even aesthetics for that matter, because the manifestation of God, whom we believe in and love, has called himself the Blessed Beauty. So there is, it's not only the organization and the transformation morally of society, but there must be the power of beauty must suffuse that result as we gradually learn to make that possible. And this learning is going to, in turn, to create, to drive the development of the evolution of the Baha'i community and the evolution of our own thought. And so the challenge to us is to be open, because, you know, human beings resist change. Change is not what we want. We get a comfort zone and we want to stay there. That's exactly what we are going to have to, that lethargy, as the House of Justice called it in its recent Rizwan message, has to be overcome. We have to not only be open to change, we have to embrace change. We have to embrace it eagerly. We have to see it as an adventure, as a process of fulfillment, that whatever we think we need is going to come through giving ourselves to change. Abdu'l-Bahá says, I may have already mentioned this in one of the earlier sessions, in speaking to us as a community about the task that Baha'u'lláh has given us, he says, you must become the very soul of the world. The Baha'i community must become the very soul of the world. You must become God's mercy to mankind. You must become God's grace. He says in another passage, rise up with such qualities and attitudes that you will become the soul of the world, the spirit in the body of man, and you will lead this young child humanity to the stage of its adulthood. That's our job. A very frightening, a very intimidating challenge to us, but the manifestation of God sets that before us as the goal towards which we are gradually going to evolve and the capacities necessary we're going to gradually develop. Why do you, I don't know, of course, none of us, the rest of us are interpreters of Baha'u'lláh or Abdu'l-Bahá indeed, but the metaphor of the soul is extremely interesting because, you know, there are two things about the human soul. First of all, it's the only thing about us that survives eternally intact. The body and everything related to it dissolves in the parts of it and so on, break up, and so do the molecules and so on. But the soul is eternal, the soul endures. The second thing about the soul is that it is the only thing about us that connects us with God, that connects us with the spiritual world. And then you look at the aptitude of this particular metaphor for the role of the Baha'i community collectively in the fortunes of mankind. First of all, it's unity. It is the only association of human beings, not only in the world today, but ever in the whole history of this planet, that has remained absolutely united. It is one single body. It has no sects, it has no factions, it has no parties, and all the efforts to introduce these breaks, which had succeeded always in the past, have failed. And they will always go on failing because the covenant has demonstrated its capacity to ensure this. The second thing about the Baha'i community is that it is the only phenomenon in civilization today that is in direct contact with the will of God, because it is the only community of people who have recognized God's message for today, God's plan for humanity and the principles that must guide this. And so when he says, when Abdu'l-Bahá challenges us to become the very soul of the world, he's speaking about a capacity that is demonstrated in us. We have this capacity, but to realize it is going to take us through stages, some of which may be very certainly intimidating to us, some of them may be very frightening. But that's the process of evolution, and it's a process that is at the very heart of the cause of God.